If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny. Greetings in the light of the Most Radiant One. I am Commander Lady Athena, and you are listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command. Tonight, beloveds, our topic is concentric concentration and manifestation. Do you realize that knowing who and what you are and what your divine identity, purpose, and function is will solve all, all the other problems? All of it is solved by the truth of knowing who you are and what you are as an eternal manifestation and embodiment of the one source life. That knowledge alone solves all the global problems. The problems of war, terrorism, poverty, injustice, erratic weather patterns, the situation of the haves and the have-nots, the victims and the victimizers, crime, addictive patterns, mental, physical, stress, diseases, all of it goes. The minute you realize and say with full awareness, I am not a body, I am spirit. Let's try that. Take a deep breath. I am not a body, I am spirit. I am spirit. Be still and know I am God. So that knowing of the I am, of the Godness, is what stills the storms of emotional and mental imbalances, which basically come from this identifying self. The best definition that I've ever heard of what is God is attributed to the Gnostic tradition. This is what they have to say. Get this one. God is the perfection that absorbs. Let's repeat that together. God is the perfection that absorbs. So how would your life be different if if you realized that you are perfect right now? Right now, with no fixing, no changing, no add-ons. The whole enchilada as it appears right now is perfect. Take that on board. Yeah, all of it. The whole kit and caboodle, everything. Okay? I don't care how you are showing up. You are perfect as you are right now. Well, you might say, okay, and why don't I know that? Well, that's very simple, because you've chosen to focus and become aware of other things. You know, that's simple. You have chosen to be more aware of other things than who you are, what you are, where you've come from, and where you're going. Or you would be self-realized and living from that realization right now. It's just that simple. There is no way that you can intend into the knowledge of truth and not be filled with truth. So let's try topping off our tanks with truth and not be so concerned with topping off our gasoline tanks. You know, everything in this material world is transitory. It's shifting sand. It doesn't mean anything. I've often said it's a holodeck, exactly like in Star Trek. No different. You put on a costume and you come in and you do your shtick for a little while, and then you exit the stage to be heard from no more in that particular role. Then you're cast in another role. You know what? I'm going to give you a really good imagery here. What if you were a boulder? And I'm talking a mega, big, huge boulder on the top of a very, very high mountain. And let's say you rolled down the side of the mountain and came to rest in the middle of a stream, coursing huge. Let's say it's a river, okay? What do you think the river would do? Hey, you're a heavyweight. That river's going to accommodate you. It's going to move around you or over you, but it's not going to move you. And in the same manner, we, who are the heavyweights, we are the boulders from the very mountaintop of the Most High God. We're that, you know, chip off the old block, if you will, that has rolled down the dimensional planes and come to land in the stream of human consciousness. It's always flowing. But you know what? If you did nothing but plop your divinity right in the middle of that stream of human life and live from that concentric point of truth and awareness and knowingness, that river would find a way to accommodate you. And life itself, the very atoms of existence, will rearrange themselves to accommodate you when you take your place. So have you filled up your skin? Do you occupy your space fully? Or do you go in default mode? Oh, well, what would they think? Or what did so-and-so say? And what was that channel saying? Or what do you think about that prophecy? Oh, my God, do you think Nibiru is going to crash into the planet Earth? Oh, wow, do you think I'll ascend? Oh, my gosh, who's going to feed my plants and take care of my cat and dog? Hello. You're the boulder. You're a chip off the old block. You are the externalization of the Lords of Light, the sons of God, the celestial emissaries that were foretold in all the ancient writings. Your story has been told in the stars, inscribed in petroglyphs, found written on ancient parchments, whispered from the mouth of the savants and sages into the ears of the Chelas throughout history. They told of the time when the celestial and planetary Lords of Light would once again emerge on the surface of this earth, and great mystery schools would no longer be mysterious, no longer hidden. The glory of the living God would be so filling this earth that we didn't even need external lights anymore, because the presence of the living God would illumine all darkness. Beloved, that is who and what you are. That's what you were made for. That's what you were divinely to embody and fulfill. So why don't I ever talk about what's happening on the planet? Because it doesn't matter. It's not about matter. You know, the big dilemma before all of us is that we're trying to make an illusion work. It's not designed to work. It's designed to be dissolved and dissipated by the light of illumination. What sage, if you've ever sat with a really illumined master which I have, a God-realized avatar, which I've spent a lot of time with, a Christ-conscious person, any one of them, show me any of them. Are they worried? Are they uptight? Are they concerned? No. What are they doing? They're in a state of relaxation and trust and flow and acceptance, and they don't sweat the small stuff. So why do we? Because we forget. We allow that veil of samsara to drop over our third eyes, and we go and we put on a tin bill and go pecking around for chicken seed with the rest of the chickens. And we forget that we're eagles designed to soar. Why is the eagle always used as a symbol for spirit? Because it's a solitary bird that lives in the heights. And it can completely rejuvenate and regenerate itself. And it takes full dominion and charge of its own process. Do you know, my beloveds, you don't have to outsource for anything? By outsourcing, I mean looking to the outer world or anything or anyone in it to take care of you, to provide for you, to make you safe, to make you secure, or to add anything unto you. You have come completely self-contained. Talk about a green movement. You are green ecology designed, completely off the grid system of the material world. Completely. You are divinely wired to be self-sustaining, self-renewing, self-regenerating, self-illumining, self-resurrecting. Do you know that every 12 years, every single cell in your body is completely brand new? Every 12 years. I want you to do a little exercise when I get off the air. Divide your life into 12-year cycles and see the points of transition or change or renewal that might show up. If you are the Christ-conscious souls, the ascended masters, those great Adonim who have come back in time from the future, that's you I'm speaking to. If you are such a one, I know that you have lived many lifetimes in one suit of clothes, one bodily vestiture, like I have. I'm in my seventh incarnation in this body, and my third walk-in, my third embodiment of an aspect of an oversoul that is so vast that you are probably members of two. Otherwise, you wouldn't be listening to this person who is so far out. The only place this one fits is everywhere. And so, trying to fix something that doesn't need fixing because there's nothing wrong with it, trying to make the prison more comfortable so we'll feel better about being in the prison, or somehow changing ourselves in a manner that makes us adaptive more to the illusion, is totally a waste of time. I always like to do this little insane exercise. You know, people who are enlightened are totally insane. So join the ranks. The next time something really bothers you, I mean, it's on you, it's really making you nuts, and you've got to somehow deal with it, purposely choose not to deal with it. Instead, go within and develop that concentric centeredness where you bring all the power and all the awareness and all that you have to bear from the outer and focus it in your core. And just breathe and identify with Source. And just surrender. Just be so in the truth of who and what you are. And watch and see what happens. I've done that. In fact, I've done it many times. And it's really, really amazing because the universe and the situation must bow to you because you have occupied as the Son of the living God. You have occupied the throne of your beingness. And every single atom in the universe must, absolutely must obey you when you are centered in that. That's where everything comes to you unbidden. Everything. You find you're living in miracles, in serendipitous, marvelous outpicturings. And things go well with you. Why is that? Because you have taken dominion over all the things of the earth, which is your God-given function. God is not supposed to come down here and caretake the earth. Elohim gave dominion to human souls. So we are the ones in charge down here. But not out of ego, not out of fear and desperation and mental stratagems. In fact, the very bastion of illusion is your lower mind. That totally identifies with the gerbil cage and the karma drama. It has no concept of truth at all. It's not designed to, okay? That's not who you are. That's not being concentrated and living from that concentric center of core essence to listen to your mind or to allow your feelings and your emotional body to dictate where you go and what you do and what's right and what's not right. Why would you take counsel of illusion fields? So, okay, I speak a lot about illusions. Well, let's just look at this for a minute. These are things we take for granted down here. But why? Why? Not one single illumined person I know believes in these things. And these things I'm talking about are the illusions of time, space, matter, physical and mental limitations, aging, pain, suffering, disease, and death. Not one single illumined person believes in these things. Is it possible they know something that we're losing sight of? Because don't these things play a part in every waking moment of the average human life? Are you here to be an average human? Or are you a Christed one who has come as part of the reappearing of Christ consciousness and the anchoring of the divine throne realms here and now? What is going on in your life? What is the center of your existence? You know, well, let's just look at these things for a moment. Let's take time. We believe in sequential time with a beginning, a middle, and an end. No such thing exists in God. The only true time is now. We believe in space, distance between objects. It's making scientists crazy to try to figure out how our spaceships travel in time and space. Hello, we don't. We do not travel in time and space or in spaceships. What you see is the manifestation of concentrated, concentric manifestation in the form of molecular displacement, which causes a positioning based on intent and function and mission and purpose to manifest. That's it. Molecular displacement. The molecules of one wavelength dimensional frequency band is simply vibrationally exchanged for that of a different coordinate. We move through coordinates of light and sound harmonics and divine purpose to accomplish our missions. And that, beloved, is how we are being taught now by all of the forces of light so that we can enter eternity consciously. People talk about ascension as if it was something supernatural that was going to happen at some point, like 2012, or, you know, the whole concept is twerked because we're not looking at time. Or people are all excited now because this city-sized spaceship is supposed to appear on October 14th. So what? We had one of the commanders told me that appeared over her mountain, which has happened to be our oldest Ashtar command base on the planet. She said it was this large, my gosh, I forget how large she said it was. I think a couple football fields was how she described it. They appear all the time. So what? Are you going to outsource to a spaceship appearing in a false timeline? Hello? So the only space is here. The only time is now. And what about matter? There is no matter. There is only spirit. Spirit that becomes concentrically condensed through concentration into manifestation. It is simply conditioned energy. Everything is just energy. And when you focus into energy long enough with clear intention and clear imaging in, you will manifest. Voila! As powerful as you are as a spirit, as centered as you are in that core essence, you will manifest instantly whatever you focus on. So there is no matter. There is only spirit. What is spirit? Unconditioned potential. Unconditioned potential. Open-ended. That which is. Again, excuse me, we believe in physical limitations. Why? What is the limitation? Where does that come from? It simply comes from our belief. It is our belief system that sets the limits. That's all. I don't know if you've had the opportunity of watching this marvelous young indigo, whatever he might be, probably an indigo young man, Chris Angel. Oh, my gosh, I love to watch him. He comes on after my show. And I run downstairs and I watch that TV. They usually have about 4 or 5 segments. This young man demonstrates every single show the overcoming of every single mental and physical limitation that we commonly set as parameters for what is possible. Watch him. Learn from him. This is a soul that probably has a highly developed epikinetic body. And again, look up epikinetic in your Keys of Enoch by Dr. J.J. Hertak. It's an extenuation of the faculties of the astral body. So even our sheaths of consciousness are not limited. We're not limited anywhere except in our beliefs in limitation. Same thing for mental limitations. We kind of fall into the same patterning. Then we think we have to age. Says who? Did Babaji, the deathless guru living in the Himalayas, They say since the time of Krishna, which is what, 5,000 years? Did he age? No. What about Adama in Telos? My friend Sharula said that he's 10,000 years old. Hello, where is he aging? That's interesting. Sharula said that in the Telosian community, under Mount Shasta, where there's a million and a half inhabitants, they don't age because they're constantly focusing on that higher level of consciousness. They're constantly reinforcing that, speaking about it, looking at it and into it in the eyes of everybody. You know, the last thing the Telosians want to do is come on the surface of planet Earth. The last thing they want to do is take those of you on the surface of planet Earth into Telos and your physical bodies with all your baggage of illusion. But as the Earth ascends in this frequency of higher understanding and illumined awareness, you will find that we're in a unified field where there is no, again, the illusion of separation, the illusion of the inner and the outer Earth, the illusion of the inner and outer space. Unified field means just that. All the boundaries dissolve, and you just are in pure, blissful awareness, here and now, in unlimited potentiality. Can we even begin to grok what that's all about? Wow. I don't know. I don't know. I'm right there with you. So again, aging and pain, suffering, disease, and death entered into this planetary system with what I've often spoken of as the, quote, quote, fall. And I'm not going to go into that again because I've gone into it many times. But I will say this, that in this last root race seeding by Elohim Jehovah, the pain, aging, death, and suffering, and disease, etc., etc., entered with the first Adam and was canceled out and remitted by the second Adam, which was Jesus the Christ. So that's why when you come under his authority and operate in his name, authority, and in referencing your life to Christ consciousness, you have been granted eternal life. So you already always had eternal life, but you've lost sight of it. You've bought so into the illusion that you're acting out of the illusion and the fall energy and under the law, not realizing that you're like a bird in a cage. The cage door is open. You're still sitting on the perch. Fly out. It's safe. So pain, again, comes from, think of this. Okay, how can energy fields have pain? I mean, think about it. It's absolutely illogical. Your body is a field of ions. It's a field of ions. How can an ionic field experience pain? It's a belief system. You know, you've watched hypnotists operate, haven't you? You can take an ice cube, put it in a hypnotized person's hand, and say it's a burning coal, and it'll burn a hole right through their hand. My gosh, I saw Chris Angel the other night on a show. It was amazing. He cut a man's arm off. He put him in a hypnotic trance, cut his arm off. It's dripping blood. People are just like gasping. And it was all hypnotic. Shirdi Sai Baba was an interesting master. he lived in North India. He's the previous incarnation of Sai Baba. He was a great saint, even greater now than he was when he was in the physical body. And he used to like to go down by the stream, and he would remove his intestines out of his mouth and wash them in the river and put them back in. He would take his arms and legs. He would completely dismember himself, you know, like a doll, take everything out of the sockets, and hang it all around his little place where he slept, just to freak out his devotees. They would come in, and they'd scream and yell and carry on. Oh, my God, somebody's murdered the master. You know, and they go, and he'd laugh. You see, that's the way it is in truth. Did you see the wonderful movie with Robin Williams, What Dreams May Come? You got to rent it and see it if you haven't seen it. Shows you the power of the astral plane and how we color our world, how we manifest and create the things that we then experience, be it hell or heaven. We're the author of these experiences. It says that Christ is the author and finisher of our faith. So the Christ is the inner consciousness of God, the Son of God, dwelling within you as you. And you are, that part of you is the author and finisher of whatever it is you faith into, you have belief into. So, because the earth itself, the vibration that we call the third density earth, is still experiencing the effects of the fall or the illusion field that came upon this planet, primarily part of the natural cycles of the different revolving ages and yugas. It's nothing to get bent out of shape about. But we will be overcoming every single one of these things. It says in the Bible that in the twinkling of an eye, we will go from corruptible flesh to incorruptible, perfect bodies of light. This is really what people talk about when they think of being beamed up or ascended and then returning back to earth in perfected forms. The only problem is there's process in that. There's going and coming in time and space, which is all a big illusion. So what's happening? Molecular displacement. The vibratory wavelengths of consciousness that have believed in aging, pain, suffering, disease, and death, that illusion will be swept from our experiential reality through the grace of the reappearing Christ consciousness. It'll just be shown away like the rays of the sun cause they cause both a mirage and also the fog to disappear. So just like that, these belief systems, these thought forms will vanish from our experiential reality. Think about this. What if you would not see death in this lifetime? Ashtar, oh golly, I think about 10, maybe more years ago, said to us through me that we would out-vibe, as the terms he used. He's picking up a little bit of lingo hanging around me, a little bit of slang. We would out-vibe the frequencies that are now manifesting as AIDS and cancer. AIDS comes from one thing, self-invalidation. It's like a self-fulfilling curse of indictment that you don't feel worthy to live. Get over it. I know personally of, I think it's up like almost 1,000 or more people that have been totally and completely cured of full-blown AIDS. Who said it's a death sentence? It's not. You are a spirit. You're not a body. You're the incarnation of Almighty God. And I don't care what you've done in your body or with your body. It's all fiction. You've never left the heart of God. You've never been anything other than one with God and absolutely perfect. AIDS is a belief that you have done something so horrendous that you're worthy of dying and punishment and not living. That's why the immune system is compromised. So you, beloveds, who may be suffering from this thought form, and that's all it is, put your hand on your thymus and say, I am spirit. I am the Son of the living God. I am the love of God, the light of God, the truth of God, the power of God, made manifest here and now. And breathe that love, that worthiness. Do you know, beloveds, taking it down a notch to a different point of view here for a moment, that God loves you not because of what you have done or not done in your body, but because of who and what you are eternally. God, and I'm not talking about the God of the lower realms that's vengeful and everything, that's a manifestation of the negative power that we call Kal Niranjan. I'm not talking about that punitive, punishing, judgmental, do it my way or I'll kill you manifestation of God. That's a lower manifestation. I'm talking about the supreme God called Sugmad or Sarmad or Purushottama or that which is or Akshaya or Paramatma. I'm talking about that, okay? That, the nature of that, is isness. You are the isness of the thatness that is eternally, here and now, perfect, whole. You've never, ever been in a body. Ever, ever, ever. You simply identified a thought stream, a ray of consciousness projection into an illusion field and bought into it to such a point that you manifest all of these horrific, nightmaric conditions. Beloved, shine them away with the power and glory and light of who you are. Same thing with cancer. It's that it's a pain so deep that it eats you from within. It's an illusion, beloveds. It's an illusion. Shine it away. Fill your skin up with the glory of the living God. Fill it up. Don't leave any wiggle room for illusion to enter your sacred temple. Fill yourself with truth. Some of you, beloveds, email me, and you want me to counsel you in an area that is so much coming out of an illusion field that I can't address it. I used to be able to dance a little bit in those areas for a little while. I can't do that anymore, especially since the 888 gone to a different level. I can't enter in on that with you anymore. Why? Because if I do, I will reinforce it. So if you have sent me such an email and I haven't responded, that's why. I can't deal with fortifying an area that doesn't support and validate who you are and what you're here to manifest. So again, we are not here on earth to fix the mess and make it better. I don't care who you elect into office. I don't care what funding suddenly lands in your bank account or not. I mean, don't hold your breath. Or what spaceship appears in the illusory third dimensional sky. Or what an arbitrary, illusory, Gregorian time of 2012 or whatever is going to do or not do. It's not about that. It's about occupying fully who and what you are forever. There is nothing that you do not know. All knowledge resides within you. All knowledge, all wisdom. Your nature is God's nature. If it's true of God, it's true of you. God is love. That means you are love. You are made of the warp and woof of love. What is love? In Sanskrit, it's called prema. In Greek, it's called agape. But in Greek, in the Greek language, there are many, many, many different words that define the different forms of love. But only one is eternal, and that's the agape love. And the same thing for prema. Prema is not affection, not attachment, not sexual lust, not attraction, not chemistry, not vibing with another person. It is unconditional, open embracement of that perfection, of that divine manifestation. I don't care what it is doing. We judge in the material human lower levels by what a person says and what a person does. And we are the absolute most cruel judges imaginable. You know, God can never be as cruel and harsh as we are on ourselves for our own imagined imperfections. Do you know what original sin is? We often think, well, you know, we're down in this mess because Adam sinned. He disobeyed God. Let's take a different point of view here. What if, in the free will election of a soul, they chose to experience self as separate, even though it's absolutely impossible, but they chose to experience self as separate so they could experience knowledge which is in the realm of separation. And I'm speaking about little knowledge with a small k. There is knowledge, straight knowledge, which is like the Rhema word of God or the eternal truth, Satyam, as it's called in Sanskrit. And then you have the ego's nightmare, which is totally born of the illusion that somehow we fell into this world and were cut off forever from God. And Jesus the Christ, our elder brother, went to the cross to die to prove that you can't kill the Son of God. And remember, he was a prototype, archetype of all of us. Jesus is no more a greater Son of God than you or me or anyone else. He came to level the playing field and say, you are all sons and daughters of God. But he also qualified it. Those who do the will of the Father are my mother and father, my sisters and brothers, my kith and kindred. So, what does that mean? Well, it means that there are thought form manifests running around out there that have severed their connection with conscious awareness at the higher levels. They're called demons. They're called soulless entities. I remember Madame Blavatsky. This is kind of interesting. She was riding in a carriage in the turn of the century near Hyde Park in London. And she looked out, and I've walked in Hyde Park. It's a real big and beautiful park. And in London, you know, people on the holidays and the weekends, they go hang out and kind of like picnic time on the park. So it was filled with people. And when she drove by, she looked at it sadly and she said, what a pity, all those bodies and not a single soul. Wow. Wow, wow, wow. Okay, so what's walking around? Ego. Thought forms, opinions, judgments, self-indictments, packages of disease, suffering, pain, death, karma dramas. So where is the soul? In the heart of God. Never left the heart of God. The soul completely loses attention in the personality vehicles in the lower levels when it isn't living according to higher consciousness. The soul is here to have experiences, true, but it doesn't really come into very close association as long as you're running an ego agenda. It just sort of runs it by remote observation. That's why we speak in the movement of spiritual inner awareness that I often speak about. The spiritual travelers speak about soul transcendence. The soul is in a transcendental state. And only the karma causes you to misidentify self. In fact, it's safe to say that whatever is consistently the burr under your saddle blanket, you know, it's always in your face, it's always an issue, it's always a problem, it keeps reoccurring again and again and again in different forms, that is your karma. Now, it can be good karma or bad karma. Karma is never neutral. That's grace. No, karma is the result of some momentum you have set in motion, generally in another lifetime. Not even now. That's why it's so baffling. So why? Why did this happen? Why is this coming into my life? Well, it's there because you're responsible for what you put out. Who else is going to clean up your mess? You have to handle it. You have to deal with it. It's yours. I often call these things that come into our life children of consciousness. And I also say that every single thing that you will ever see or dream about or experience, whether good, bad, demonic, angelic, whatever, is coming right out of your own children of consciousness that people your inner realms that you live and move and have your existence in. And yeah, there are God realms beyond your creative realms. Thank God. The real realms, that's what I call the divine throne realms or the God realms. So that is a realm. Those higher worlds are what we call the realms of God realization. But before you can move into them, you have to realize who am I as a self, as an individualized jivi. Who am I? What am I? And that's where we say you are an extension of the love of God made visible in time and space. You're an extension of the awareness of the Sat, Chittananda, that life, that awareness, and that bliss of the Supreme Spirit. You are that in time and space, seemingly. A hologram, a projection. But, you know, real enough when you're in that skin, isn't it? Pretty vivid. It's just like the hot coal, you know, that's really an ice cube. You believe it's a hot coal, man, it'll burn through your hand. So, the power of the mind, says in the Bible that we need to bring every single thought captive to Christ. How in the world do you do that? Well, you ask yourself, is this thought leading me closer to the beloved, closer to Christ? Or is it keeping me under the bondage of the negative power? Is it draining my vitality? Is it sucking me dry? Because if it's of God, it's going to make you juicy. It's going to give you life, vitality. You're going to be a juicy fruit. It's going to be a luscious grape on the vine. But if it's not of God, you know, if it's part of that negative power, that soulless power, it will suck you and feed off of your vitality to sustain itself, because it can't do anything but drain. It doesn't have any vitalizing capacity to self-generate. I'm talking about all of these ghosts, these phantoms, these thought form indwelling entities, these soulless ones. They will suck you dry, like the greys. That's why the greys keep wanting to drink our blood. They mutilate the cattle and they take the serum out of the blood to sustain themselves. They're trying to reproduce, to mate with us so that they can find some way to get a soul, because right now they don't have a soul. They're like a hive of insects. So this is sad. And don't freak out on me, because God has a plan for them too. But they have so severed from the tree of life and so gone off to do their own thing that they have lost contact with the principle of ongoing life. And because we have a lot of gene pool splicing that's taken place in the human planet, Jesus himself had to come back to graft us back into the tree of life so we could have eternal life and progress onward. Because the whole human race was under this fallen code due to the belief in separation from source that we bought into, that it had to be rebridged and re-spliced and realigned for us. So now we're home free. All you have to do is follow the Master, face your creations, love it all, be at peace, stay centered, stay focused on who and what you are eternally. Don't sweat the small stuff. Keep cool, chill. Don't get so manic. Let it all go. Laugh, sing, dance, have fun. Do your bliss. Do what you like to do. Don't do anything that you don't love doing. If you can't do it with all your heart, your mind, your soul, your passion, your joy, your love, or at least do it as selfless service, at least do it as selfless service and offer the fruit to God. If you can't do one of those things, don't do it. You're not supposed to do it. Did you ever stop to think that when you hate to go to work and you hate your life and, oh man, another day, I can hardly wait till it's Friday, why you, who are the very regent of the Most High, why do you put up with that? Remember, you're the boulder, you're the heavyweight, you're the one that rolled down the top of the mountain. And you sit in the middle of the stream of life. Make it accommodate you. Take your place. Occupy your skin. Top off the tank of truth. Right on a full tank. Beloved, step free through grace. What is grace? Unmerited favor. You don't earn it. It's given to you by who and what you are eternally. It was provided for every man, woman, and child by Jesus Christ, by his perfected work on the cross, his resurrection, his reversal of the codes of death and sin and aging and disease and everything that came in with misidentifying ourselves in the image making of the ego. That's the idolatry. When we image make, we mood make, we substitute religion and doctrine and boxes and outer forms for the spirit of the living God that dwells in you as you. It's who you are. Nobody can rob you of that. And all of the beings in the cosmos are envious of the human, because the human being alone is designed to return to the heart of source. Other planetary species will have to wait until they have a human incarnation, because it's only from this particular springboard, according to Sai Baba, I'm just quoting here, apparently only from the springboard of a human embodiment can we return in full awareness and walk in full awareness with the presence, in the presence of the presence as the presence. So, yeah, you know, even to talk, you see, I have to shift down a ratchet. The ratchet down. I have to dummy down to talk about these things, because that's why the language of the enlightened one is silence. But my karma drama is to be a teacher. I have to be a teacher. That's what I was instructed to be and do. So I have to speak out of illusion to communicate about the illusion to you so you can awaken from the illusion. Sounds crazy, doesn't it? But that's what we are confronted with when we're teachers. So we always have to have that veil, some veil, in place in order for us to function as a teacher. So don't follow teachers. Follow yourself. Follow the truth that dwells within you. You are the ark of the living covenant of God. You are the ark of the covenant. It used to be a gold box carried by four men on their shoulders. Now you are the covenant ark. You are the ark of the covenant. You are the Holy Grail. You are the knights of the round table. You are the promised ones. the whole earth has been in travail, longing and praying for your appearance in this world. Beloveds, come out of the closet and manifest the Christ that you are. The world is depending on you to shine away the agony that has kept it completely fascinated and bound in illusion. I'm going to close tonight with, let's see, what will we chant? Let's chant Yeshua. Take a deep breath. Yeshua. 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 Adonai, beloveds.